I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. At Cordell & Cordell, we encourage our clients to participate, to recognize how essential their role in this process is. They've got to be willing to help us help them. And by working jointly in a sort of partnership, we're more likely to get the best possible outcome for our clients. And that's really the standard that our clients can fairly hold us to, is what is the best possible outcome for them. So clients who are facing divorce need to recognize that for them to succeed, they need a partnership between them and their attorney.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives. Contact the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on. 650-389-1111. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, Tusha. Thanks for joining us. Zooming right into Genting Singapore. It's recently announced its third quarter results. Revenue declined 8.6% year-on-year to $581.5. It was mainly propped up by better non-gaming revenues, which increased 22.8%. Now, were earnings within expectation as the group copes with, you know, declining gaming volumes in the industry?
Hi, Shengun. Good morning. Overall, earnings were better than expectations, mainly due to two reasons. Number one was the better luck factor, because the VIP hold rate was above the normal hold rate. We got a 3.3% VIP win percentage, which was higher than the 2.9%, which is the long-term average. The second reason was that the impairments continue to fall. However, at the same time, what we are still seeing is that the gaming volume continues to decline sequentially for Genting Singapore. So VIP volume of business fell about 15% quarter on quarter. So in terms of the negatives, it appears that the volumes are yet to bottom out.
With that in mind, Tusha, so if volumes possibly decreasing, moving on to the bottom line then, specifically EBITDA, after adjustment, it saw an increase of 11.6% year-on-year to $233. So the group has made comments, announcements of major cost rationalization exercises in the second quarter. So do you see efforts starting to bear fruits for Q3?
Yes, you're right. The cost, the rationalization figures are also helping Genting in improving EBITDA margins. There has been a number of reductions in the staff handling the VIP business, which, to be honest, is not really surprising, as there are simply not that many VIP customers in the casino as 3 years ago used to be. So in our view, a sustainable adjusted EBITDA figure, if we adjust for the luck factor, should be about 200 million Singapore dollars. Anything above 200 million Singapore dollars on a quarterly basis on EBITDA level is quite respectable for Genting. So yeah, it does appear that the cost cutting which they are doing is starting to bear fruit.
And also following on latest news, Genting Singapore is also paring down its stake in its Jeju Integrated Resort project in South Korea. That project has actually been hit by major typhoons, which has impacted construction and its progress. So do you think this divestment was a good move on the part of Genting Singapore?
Honestly, we were also a bit surprised by the exit, as Genting just a month ago was saying that the project construction is all on track, apart from some disruptions due to the typhoon, as you mentioned. But I do partially understand the rationale. As you know, when Genting announced the project in 2014, the Chinese gaming market was much larger. And since then, the anti-corruption crackdown has happened, and it has shrunk the market a lot. So maybe the economics of the project, which had the original budget of about $1.8 billion, maybe it does not make any more sense right now. And plus, because of the damage to the construction after the recent typhoon, this was another motivating factor for them to exit. So overall, I think that although they did exit a bit prematurely, but all in, they got back all the money which they invested, plus they got back 10% extra. So it's not a bad exit in terms of numbers, in my view. And they will also booking a gain of about $80 million on the disposal. So all in all, slightly positive.
And shifting our focus to Japan now, the group said it was repositioning its brand and optimistic of possible new greenfield ventures into Japan. Now, lawmakers there debated yesterday on the casino bill, but it was opposed by the opposition party. The bill has been sidelined for years, so are you optimistic that the bill will finally be passed this time?
I think the probability of the casino bill being passed either this year or in 2017 next year remains more than 50%. This is because the Shinzo Abe government has a very good majority right now. It is probably the best we have seen. So if there was an opportunity to pass the bill, it is actually this year and next year. If they don't pass it by 2017, then the chances of the Japan casino bill being passed will drop, because then there is going to be another general election in Japan in 2018, so they will have to prepare and come up with a new bill after the elections. However, what we are seeing is there seems to be some opposition within the ruling coalition about the bill internally. And secondly, there are also some other bills to be considered, because in politics, nothing is really 100% certain. So these can act as a stumbling block to the passing of the bill. So overall, even though I cannot really say 100%. And even if this bill gets passed, there needs to be another bill which needs to be passed before giving out the licenses. And so considering all the time taken to do construction, etc., it will be at least 2022 or 2023 before the casinos can actually start operations.
I'm just curious as well, Tusha, with that picture in mind, when a bill does finally get passed, what kind of opportunities could we see as a result of Japan potentially opening up its gaming sector, and how players like Genting Singapore can benefit?
Okay, so as you know, Japan is one of the last major developed markets still to legalize casinos. So overall, it being a very high-income economy, the potential for gross gaming revenue can be potentially quite huge. Definitely, it can be bigger than Singapore. But at the same time, the capex for the project will be also huge, around 5 to 10 billion US dollars, which is not really an issue for Genting, because they are sitting on about 5 billion Sing dollars in cash, and they generate about 800 million every year in free cash flow as well. Secondly, there is also going to be a lot of competition, because it being such a coveted gaming license, everyone around the world, every gaming major is competing for the license. And thirdly, they also might have to do a tie-up with a local Japanese company with as a JV partner to construct the casino. So if I assume that all goes according to plan, and then the license is awarded to Genting, and then the casino opens, say, 5 years down the road or 6 years down the road, it can actually help Genting stock rate a lot, because potentially the earning stream from a Japan casino can be as big, if not larger, than the Singapore market which they are currently operating. So it can be a huge opportunity, given that so many uncertainties are all overcome one at a time.
Thank you. That's Tusha Mohata, Head of Equity Research at Nomura. And now Melissa Idris is standing by to speak to Ben LeBron, Market Analyst at Options Express in Sydney.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!